Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Paranormal Talk Radio. This is not the X-Files. We are not scientists. We are not mathematicians. We are certainly not school teachers. We are no experts. We are paranormal investigators who have come together to give our audience insight and educational subjects about the paranormal field. Join us live every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Without further delay, here are your hosts, Matthew J. Haas, and his partner in crime, Tim Vickers.
Well, usually there's some clapping right there at the end of that, so I lagged myself into a strange sense of quietness there, but welcome to another show of Paranormal Talk Radio. Our main guy, Matt, is not with us this evening. He is going and visiting some family, which is, I think, a great job. I think he's taking the weekend and going and seeing some family and having a good time upstate, as I think he puts it. So I have a great honor and very thankful that a friend of mine, Mike Diamond, stepped in to help me go through the show. I'd like to welcome Mike. How you doing, Mike?
How's it going, man? Congratulations on having Anonymous do your intro.
Yeah. That was good, wasn't it?
It's awesome.
Awesome. Okay. Well, like I said, Mike's Matt's out. So we had a guest halfway lined up for this evening, but he didn't work out. So Mike and I are just going to kind of talk for the rest of the evening and go over some things. Mike is one of the founders and originators of ParanormalWarehouse.com, and that's a website that we talk about a lot here on the show. Great website, excellent place to go, learn some information, express some ideas, question other people, and share some thoughts. Great place to put out some information. Any evidence that you have, is there's a peer review place that you can put it up and have other people look at it and ask you questions. And lately, Mike's been working on a project called Moving Forward, which I think is a very good idea. I love the concept of it. And if you could talk about that for just a little bit.
Sure. Thank you for the kind words.
Sure.
So, you know, I think you'll agree. And I always preface it by saying I'm not trying to put anyone down with whatever I say in this conversation. But, you know, when I started this thing, I wanted to bring people together who wanted to do research to prove what it is going out there. And obviously that's a tall order, but, you know, the reason why I created the website in the first place was to bring people together who are doing different things. And I started going to conventions and reaching out to the community, and it seems like people are out there for a multitude of reasons, and this isn't everybody, but it seems like to a lot of people the whole research end of this whole thing is the last thing on their list. So it's been frustrating for me, and I was pretty surprised. I mean, I got you guys that I befriended from the website, and there are a good group of people out there that are doing this research. But, you know, first and foremost, I was shocked how many people say that they're paranormal researchers, and there really is no research to be had.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think maybe that's part of one of the great things about Paranormal Warehouse I like is that, you know, if you go and put your, you know, what research you do have, or ask questions of, you know, people that do try to break down smaller things. Yeah, I like to say my kind of viewpoint of paranormal and investigating the paranormal or doing research with the paranormal is I came to the idea or the belief or maybe even the realization a long time ago that, you know, to prove the paranormal or true to prove a ghost or spirit, that's a huge bite. That's massive. So
absolutely.
Oh yeah, that is something. I mean, that's great to strive for, but to do that in one bite is, I think, too much. So what I like, especially at your site, especially with Bill Highland, I always tell you, speaking of electrical engineers, you know, he's an engineer at heart.
Yeah, Bill, I always talk about Bill.
Yeah.
And Bill is one of those guys that if you put time in, you learn how to do something and then you do it.
Yeah.
You know, he's someone that'll put the time in. I want to figure X, Y, and Z out.
Mm-hmm.
He goes into his garage, he puts something together and he does a little experiment. He's a great representation of, if anybody could do this, just put a little bit of it, put a little bit of time in there. You could go on YouTube. You could learn how to like build a car engine on YouTube. You know, you could do anything.
Yeah.
That's, so
mainly most of my major repairs around the house come from YouTube.
Oh, 110%. I just maybe like the past year and a half, 2 years have realized the tool that YouTube is, like all the little graphics and stuff that I do for the videos.
Yeah.
Like Adobe After Effects. I got it. I saw it. I said, I don't know how to do this. I put it on the shelf. But then I said, no, I'm going to sit down and try to figure this out. YouTube, bada bing, bada boom. You're solid.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I fixed a washing machine. I'm watching.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, that sounds impossible.
Yeah, I replaced a water pump, you know. Yeah, before I watched this, I was like, I have no idea what's underneath this. And there was water leaking, and sure enough, I looked it up and found my model, and they step-by-stepped it. And I did it. It still works. It's unbelievable.
And I think people are so, this is like a totally different conversation, but I think people are so used to a throwaway mentality where I'm trying to start embracing like, I want to know how this works. I'm going to learn how to do this. And not only is it awesome, like you feel good when you kind of do something on your own. I have like that sense of like, I did it.
Yeah.
But, it can save you some cash.
That's exactly why I figured out how to do it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but kind of at the same point, we'll bring it back, you know, you can figure out how to build certain things or at least have a concept of what's going on. You know, equipment, we'll just say equipment, like Bill does. You know, Bill sees a piece of equipment, he'll tear it down, he'll figure it out, and he'll build another one. But he does it step by step. So my kind of thought is, if you can't chew the whole evidence of finding the ghost in the first bite, then take littler steps. And you might not make it, but somebody who follows your work might make it. So
absolutely.
I like how he kind of has a mentality, and I have the mentality, and a lot of my friends do, that, you know, we look at, well, this is what we're doing now, and these are the results that we're getting. And these results aren't very satisfying, or at least if they are, we're getting a conclusion about what these results mean. So what can we do different? And one of the things that I like that he does is he looks at the equipment that we're using. He thinks, well, are we using this equipment correctly? And is this equipment actually made to do what it's claimed to do? And he breaks it down and looks at it. And I think those are the type of people that put that stuff out on the, you know, Paranormal Warehouse website. And that's a great place where you can go, put what you've done, what you've learned, and you can see what other people have done and learned.
Totally. And, you know, I'll say this out there to people. The field definitely has to get rid of the ego, getting upset if people tell you that it's not paranormal, or just be open-minded. It's like you said, it is a science. Like, science has no ego. It just grows and builds off of itself. So even though you like didn't get it on the first try, maybe someone will take a piece of something and build on that. So, you know, don't get upset when people say that your stuff isn't paranormal, and, you know, who knows, maybe they're wrong, and maybe you could talk with them to try to figure something out. It's got to be more of an open thing.
Yeah, yeah, and just on that note, like, I have a great picture that says science doesn't care what you believe. You know,
it's true.
It's true. Science doesn't care if you've had a bad morning. But one of the things that I think that is a positive to take away from, if you put something out and people just ask questions and you don't have the answer to their questions, I don't think, you know, I think the ego kind of, where you got to let go is, I think it's a great moment to realize, in my opinion, well, if I don't have these answers, what can I do to change to get the answers?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of flaws with a lot of the machines. People misuse the spirit box to an unbelievable degree, but
yeah,
that's not to say keep on, if you want to do something with radio waves or whatever, try something else. You know, eventually you're going to exhaust it, but if you really like that tech, like say you had an experience where you believe it was something paranormal, keep working on it. You know, it's, I think the shows make these things popular,
yeah.
Like a spirit box, but really in the beginning it was a hack Radio Shack radio. You know,
it was, yeah.
It's not something out of your grasp. You know, look up how these things work, and maybe you got to buy something or learn how to put something together. But you know, don't give up and get upset if you did have something like that happen. Keep working on it and try to figure something out.
God, I love it. I think it's a great opportunity, you know, because the time will come, if you keep working at it, you're going to put something out there that somebody won't have an idea of how, you know, that might have happened. You know, that still doesn't mean it's a ghost. But when you put something out, eventually all that work and all that time and all the energy, and you put it out, and people, a lot of people look at it and go, I really don't know how that happened. Like, I've got nothing, man. I've got no explanation. I don't know what that is. You're going to have to go to a higher order. You know, you're going to have to find a scientist and send that thing to. You know, the better that you have survivability, I guess, for lack of a better word, of your evidence, I think the more interesting it becomes and the more solid it becomes. And once you get to that point, I think it starts to become more credible.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a step we are going to have to take eventually. It's not like, yeah, you could get quantitative data, which is just numbers, but most of this is observing and kind of measuring different things. And it's not like, it's like fishing. You're not going to always get something at the same time. But mm-hmm. if people do these things and they get enough correlation, you just have to get enough things that make people raise their eyebrows to have someone that once thought it was a joke to be, okay, well, this is data, and now let's take it a step above. You know, we have to, you know, we have to wow somebody.
Well, yeah, yes, last week we had some great guests on from the Ryan Institute, and they really educated me about what their institute, it's a parapsychology institute. I had a lot of misconceptions about what they did and what parapsychology was, and they were fantastic. And one of the things that I liked that they did was how they handled their data. So I fully expected, I mean, I really did. I thought that they were going to have CAT scans and brain scans and, you know, this, and they watch the function of the brain in real time as it happened, but they didn't. Yeah, that'd be cool. But I guess, you know, who has the money for that?
Sure.
Yeah. But they didn't. But what they do is they have submissions for what they consider, I would guess, you know, an ESP moment, a connection. For instance, they would say an example would be, you know, during, you know, while we're at, you know, the conflict or the war that's going on right now, a loved one would get a voice, or even they would have, like, if it was a spouse and they're here in America in their bedroom and their spouse is fighting you know, overseas, and their spouse walks into the bedroom full battle gear, I just want to tell you I'm okay, and they kind of freak out. you know, in this
as case, you would.
Yeah. And you know, that day they get a call that that your spouse was either MIA or, you know, killed in action. But then later they get the call that their spouse is okay. So that's the type of what they're looking for, is I guess like a psychic connection. Now, how do you test that? And they, so earlier of the Ryan Institute, they actually did bring people in, and they actually did put all kinds of stuff on their head and their brain. You know, they did try to watch that, but they learned that that wasn't, oh, you can't have a psychic connection. You know, you just can't. It just can't happen. Plus, they also realized they had a real life situation. They were in a lab situation, so they kind of put that to the wayside. But what I like is they took all the data, and they ask when people submit experiences like that, that they make it as detailed as possible, and they plot the information. You know, if it's, is it more common? Do they see more common psychic connections between husband and wife, you know, daughter and father, daughter and mother and son, or mother and daughter, cousins,
sure,
best friends, siblings? So what they do is they look at the repeating patterns. So they'll plot this, and they look at what gets the most hits. And then they can narrow down. So maybe I think what they said was actually siblings. Siblings, and I might be mistaken, so don't, you know, I don't want to misquote them, so I'll say that. You know, I don't want to be wrong. I just can't remember. I thought it was siblings that had the most connection, the typical most responses, or at least submissions for their psychic experiences. But, you know, what I like is that they're not saying that this is evidence of anything, as it were, but they just want to compile the data and look at what the data says, and then try to follow that data, be it some time, look at ways of creating some type of tests in the future based on the data that they have. And I love that. I love that because, you know, some things, you know, science is science, and the scientific method is a great tool, but, you know, there's all kinds of ways to fit things into a scientific method. And, it can, I think that's applicable. Evan, I kind of see it with us. You know, when I heard them say that, I was like, oh, it's like this little light bulb went on. And I was like, that's kind of what we do, isn't it? You know, we just take information, where we were, the conditions that we ran something in, what we caught, you know, whatever evidence was, with what piece of equipment, and everybody comes out. I like what you're doing with, you know, Paranormal Warehouse and forward with, why not, you know, if everybody can put that in one spot, you can see patterns emerge. And I think once you have those patterns, you can then hone in what you're going to do with the information.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it, like what they're doing, you know, the whole moving forward thing, we want to have a database set up so that we can easily put things in and see those events that are matching up. So, you know, it's just like what they said. It's, if you have something happen, you know,
yeah,
200, 300, 1,000 times, it's no longer random. It's no longer a random thing. It's a weird, measurable thing. I mean, that's where we are. This is still a young thing. People haven't really been reading paranormal or ghosts or whatever. So yeah, it's going to be simplistic. It's not going to be something advanced, but it can build there if you just keep on compiling all this stuff. So if you see something happen, it happens a billion times, then you could say, all right, we know this is happening here. Go one step further and figure out why it's happening. But we need those initial things first for anyone, like, really to give a crap, you know? Like, it's got to be stuff to show someone to be like, you should put more effort into this. And it's really as simple as that.
I completely agree. And you know, like that, like I said, you know, when I heard him talk about it that way, it kind of clicked a light for me about, you know, in my mind, I started seeing all these charts and graphs and plots, and even though it's anecdotal data, even though it's somebody reporting, self-reporting their experiences, might be a certain percentage of the population that might outright say that people would. I'm just saying there might be a certain percentage of the population that people would, you know, submit false reports for whatever reason. There might be a certain percentage of the population that would exaggerate. However, if you could eliminate that edge, if you could take, you know, the most extreme cases, a certain percentage of them, kind of cut them out for a curve, and then look at what you have. I like it. People are at least having or reporting having those experiences. And it's not the same person making 1,000 reports. It's from all over the country. And they're very similar. And they're very unique, even though they're very similar. It's, you know, they either got a voice or the person walked into the room and they saw them, you know? You know, I mean, it's hard.
I mean, it's a tale as old as time.
Yeah, it's, you know, for me, it's hard.
There's been ghost stories forever.
Yeah, there have. And, you know, for me, it's kind of hard to swallow, but, you know, I have to, like, you just keep an open mind and listen to it. So even though this happened, you know, what is it? And that's where I think, you know, you have to have, like you were saying, you have to have that first initial step of gathering the data and at least looking at where it's happened. And once, if you could find under what conditions the events happen at, then maybe you could make something to control that condition. So if we, I don't know, throwing off the cuff here, but if you think of it in a paranormal investigation, so a lot of people go and, I don't know, if it's dark, let's use, dark, it's not good, EMF, okay. So people report, which is anecdotal, I know, but people report going into homes of alleged haunted activity. And whoever's in these homes, you know, for several homeowners or several renters have reported something strange in this house, will go in and they might take high levels of EMF readings. You know, that's, you know, I guess that's kind of been done, right, about the condition. But you would have a database with this one place that you could see that this place has a continually high EMF reading within its boundaries. And then you could, well, let's do something to try to control for the EMF and see what happens. And so you're not necessarily, and I'm kind of rambling, but I don't really, you're proving the ghost. And that's what I was kind of getting at the beginning. You're not trying to prove the ghost, but what you're looking at, now you're looking at which ghosts are alleged. So if you could figure out one condition that seems consistent across the board and could do something to control for that one condition and either eliminate it or gather evidence through control tests that it either is gone or, yeah, this really happens when this one condition happens. Once that's done, I think other people pile on and do their own experiments. They can set up their own tests. And I think that's what a great website like yours is for. So, you know, it'd be hard to go to everybody's website and everybody's Facebook. And, you know, I mean, there's probably tens, if not hundreds of thousands of, you know, paranormal enthusiasts that put out information. You know, it'd be great to have as much as you could in one spot.
Yeah, and you know, that was the goal. And I do realize that it's become more of like an entertainment thing. Branch off this database that I'm just trying to give people a tool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's and that's really it, man. I want to find smart people. I was actually going to reach out to you guys and kind of get a together of people who like really do the research.
Mm-hmm.
And like, let's start talking, let's start planning out grouped research that we can all do together and share our findings and stuff. Your group has to happen. Because I know people do it, but we have to work on this together, you know, and I would hope that people would use it, but even more importantly, and like a shout out to you and Bill and Matt and you know, let's do this. Let's get a little group of people to start this up, because I started this because I think it's important. I think there's obvious research that are saving people's lives. There are people that should be learning about space and all that stuff. And then I don't see why this research isn't grouped into there, because guess what? You, me, my dog sitting next to me, we're all going to kick the bucket someday.
Yeah.
So if that has something to do with it, if it is some sort of afterlife, and even if it's not, it's something really weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I've experienced things that are really weird. You know, it's just something that rattles you to the bone, because your brain knows, you know, this is crazy.
Yeah.
That this is happening. So we owe it to ourselves to kind of rally together and do this the right way.
Yeah. I think even if it's not, which I understand about the afterlife, but even if it's not about the afterlife, whatever
sure.
you find is still cool.
Is potentially responding to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, people get like intelligent responses, and that's who are you talking to? Who or what are you talking to?
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right. There, the more and more I learn about this, it just gets crazy, and it could be so many different things. It doesn't have to be people that have passed on, but to me, like you said, it doesn't matter. It's crazy.
Yeah. Case in point, I don't know what it is, but I got slapped. I got slapped in the back of the head. Just
yep.
cracked me. At investigation. And immediately afterwards, I became sick. I had to go outside. And that confuses me.
That story is one of the stories that I keep for me too, because I trust you obviously, and it's just a why, you know.
Like there was a force. Now I don't know what that force was. It was enough that one of my good friends, Pat Vance, who's on our team, he was beside me when it happened. I mean, it didn't knock me down. I don't want it to make it sound like it was a violent, but it was enough to knock my, I had a baseball cap on. It was enough to kind of, it tipped my baseball hat up and brought the bill down, over the top of my nose.
Sure.
And I stopped because I thought I was walking backwards and I thought I backed into something. And I was honestly waiting for it to crash down on my head. That's why I just stopped.
Because
whatever it was, I just hit. I hit hard enough to knock it over. So I was like, oh my God, I'm in this Victorian house. I probably
there goes the grandfather clock.
That's exactly. I was like, oh God, oh no. There goes I'm going to be working for 3 years to pay for this. And I literally stopped because I was waiting for something to crash. And Pat said, what happened? And there was nothing around me. So. Like, I know that happened. Like, I understand that. I don't know what it was, and I don't know why I got sick, unless that was because I was stressed because I thought I broke someone's, 1800 grandfather clock. But
it's
something's there.
It's crazy, and I mean, it's even little things like EVP. That's the most I've ever gotten. I've gotten some really profound, it's somebody talking straight up, and I always think about this, wherever it's coming from, sure, it could be coming from the TV waves or whatever, radio, there's communication especially in this day and age, we're just swimming through waves of information all the time.
Yeah.
But to me, I can hear it, and I know it's an EVP because I feel like all EVPs sound the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those little things where it's like these things are happening. They all kind of sound, you know, it has that sound. It has that EVP sound. And it's just, you know, why? Why is this going on? So it's, you're right. I'm now rambling.
No, but that's great. I love it.
But, you know, it's, there's a million different things for you to ask why. Why can they manipulate you? How can he slap your hat? Why did you feel crappy afterwards? You know, it's, there's tangible things to go after. It's not like it's looking for unicorns, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I love this is the type of a conversation that I love. And, you know, and it's the why. What is that? What happens? You know, I love those questions. Those questions excite me.
Because, yeah, I mean, what else do you got?
What else you got? The only thing I can say is I felt at least a force that contacted the back of my head enough to lift my hat up and push it down, you know, the bill of my hat down over my nose. Like I said, it didn't knock me down. It didn't stagger my feet. I'm not saying, you know, it was the ghost of Joe Louis that punched me in the back. You know, it was just, it was a good shot. You know, it made me stop. It was hard enough that I thought it knocked something over. That's all I can say. That's all I have. There was nothing around me. It moved my hat. Yeah, a good friend of mine saw it. I got sick afterwards. That's all I have. I have no other explanations. Anything else that, from there forth, anything after that, anything I put out is just speculation as to what happened.
Sure.
It's, you know, for 2 or 3 nights, you know, it changed me for a little bit, you know, for 2 or 3 nights.
Sure. That's kind of scary, you know?
I was like, what was that?
After a while of feeling kind of weird, you're like, well, this is too long, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, and you're saying it in a very proper way because, you know, I'm like that too. You want to say the right things because people will unfortunately try to tear you apart, you know?
Yeah.
But what it comes down to is something slaps your hat, period.
Yeah. Or
so,
a force, you know, whatever it was, there was something that made contact. That's all I got.
But it happened.
But it did happen.
But it happened.
It did happen. And that the place we're at is just crazy with activity, which I think is another interesting fact. You know, what is it about that place? And I, even though that happened to me, I'm still not going to say it was the spirit of somebody. Even with all the stuff. Yeah, I can't. Even with all the stuff that happens at this place. You know, we first investigated this place in 2000. And we've probably been there 50, 75 times. Different owners. Several owners would call us at night and talk about something running across their bed in the middle of the night, waking them up.
Oh, so this same location had switched hands and they've all reached out to you?
Yes. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, since 2000.
And there you go. What, is everyone crazy?
That's what I mean. What is it? Like, that's kind of what I was saying about that. You know, what is it about this place that I could plot information? It's for sale, by the way, if you're interested.
No way.
It's a 1890 Victorian house.
First of all, it's incredible. But, you know, people just peace out of there, huh?
Yes, yes. The other interesting thing that happens with this place is when my daughter was 3 years old, and how we met the owner was we did a ghost tour. And, we, you know, it was a lot of fun. I enjoy those things. They're a lot of fun. I know that they're, you know, they're for fun. So it was good. So we were in the living room of this place. The owners allowed the ghost tour people to come in. And my daughter, who's 3 years old, now she's three, is standing between my wife and I. And she says, can I play with the girl on the steps? So my wife and I look at each other and we look at the steps. We didn't see anything.
So I said, what?
So I said, no. No. So, okay, so that goes. So we end up meeting her, and it was a great, she was really into it. She has a lot of different stories about the place. She let us come in. It was just the weirdest thing. That's where I got hit was that early, I was there.
Wow.
And their owners switch hands again. And the second owner, her sister had a 3-year-old child who came over and she was telling me the story. She was saying this, her 3-year-old was running through the house giggling, just giggling. And she would stop and she would hide behind a corner. She would peek around the corner at something in the living room.
No way.
And they were like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm playing hide and seek with the little girl. And so there's like a completely separate. The two owners, the previous owner and the current owner didn't know each other. And there was another 3-year-old girl that spoke about playing hide and seek with a little girl.
And I mean, you know, and then there's, and again, anyone could, whatever, I'm just going to say, I mean, if you're a little girl that's a ghost, who are you going to want to play with?
Yeah.
Another little girl.
Mm-hmm.
So it's stories like that are just too much.
Yeah.
You know, how can you,
yeah. And, you know, and still, and I kind of get, I might be overly, I don't want to say overly, I'm overly cautious, even with this place. You know, I still want more, like not more, like more evidence or more opportunity, but I would like to have more factual, hard information about what goes on in the house. And the things, those were early on in our career. So we formed our team in 2000. And so we were still at the stage where, you know, if you, oh my God, it's an orb. Yeah, we got one. You know, we were still kind of.
You set up a K2. You set up an L-meter. You set up the REM pot. You set up this.
Yeah, we were still in that stage.
Sure.
Back then, there were no K2 REM pods. There was just, you know, I remember we used, we even in some places used baking soda, you know, and compasses and strings. You know, we used old school kits.
And why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, still do. Yeah, still like that. I like the idea of the baking soda. Anyway, I do, because if there's a print in one of those bad boys, it's over. Especially if it's like 3-toed, you know, like we're out.
Yep. And done.
And done. Thanks a lot. it's a very fascinating place, but I'm not going to put off that something else can't be happening there. And I have some friends that know of the place, and you know, they look at me like I'm just crazy. They're just like, how can you just not be a full sucked in believer at this point? And
because you have a responsibility.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't know how to put it, but
you know,
yeah, you put the words perfectly for me. I didn't know how to put that, but I have a responsibility. I just can't say. Who knows what it is? I mean, to say that it's a ghost. Okay, let's say, okay, since we're just throwing out answers, illogical leaps. So if I say, yeah, it's a ghost because of these things, somebody could just as equally say, well, that's Santa Claus's summer house. Santa Claus loves little kids. You know, who else besides Santa Claus would love to play hide and seek, or Jack Frost,
yeah, of course,
Easter Bunny. And they would be just as correct as me. They would.
I know, and it kills me when, you know, and especially these TV shows, and I have a swinging pendulum on how I feel about these shows. Like, I think that they're on television, so, and listen, a lot of them try science-y things, which when they do, I'm like, thank you, you know, like, great. Yeah. But, and then when they'll go around and say, well, you know, there's a portal to hell here. I just want to take a shotgun and blow my brains out.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, if you're representing this, and I was going to say us, but it's not. It's this idea, this research, this science, and you can't do stuff like that. You can't.
You're right. You can't. And everything that they've done that might have been somewhat, even if it was halfway credible or valid in its measurement, is done. It's over with when you say, well, that's evidence of portal to hell. It's like, oh, you just destroy everything.
It's like, oh, look at this great idea. And I'm going to throw it in a pile of shit. You know, it's no coming back.
No.
It's, you know, and there are guys like Bill Chappell who's on, what is he on, Ghost Adventures all the time?
I haven't watched a paranormal show in so long.
The worst is that when it's on, I watch it every Friday. Like, me and my wife are like, yes.
Uh-huh.
Which is awful. But, you know, this guy's a legit dude. And I look at him and I'm like, come on, man. I'm trying to push this. I get that you're doing these different experiments, which is amazing. But, you know, lay the law down, man. Like, hold, you know, keep it real for science. I don't know.
Don't make the jump. Don't make the leap.
I think
that's where, for me, that's where it, probably the most irritating part. It's the leap. It's the leap of logic. You know, I can't explain. We got really awesome stuff. We have X, Y, and Z, and therefore, it is A. And is it? And how did you get, because you have X, Y, and Z as evidence that it is, that therefore it is A? And that's, you know, because sometimes having X, Y, and Z as evidence is cool enough. It's cool enough.
Absolutely. Every time I catch something, mm-hmm. I flip out like I'm a 5-year-old girl that's getting ice cream. You know what I mean? I'm so excited. It's so exciting.
Yes.
And that's fun. You should go feel excited. Obviously, you're going to feel excited, but, you know, you don't have to put a label on it because you don't know.
Yeah, and what I try to stress to people that when I talk to people is, even if it's – even you are you still might have an answer to a question, or you might have some information that could lead to an answer. Regardless, if the answer isn't something that you really want it to be, it's an unknown. And if you can solve for an unknown, then people can move past that unknown.
Oh, totally. And I mean, you know, orbs is an example. I've befriended going to these conferences a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, some of them are still super orb people. And it's just,
yeah,
you can't believe in something, you know, if you want to keep that as a personal little token that you put around your neck and you're like, I'm not going to let anyone see this, but I'm going to feel it. That's fine.
Yeah.
But if something, you just, there's so much against it. We know that these orbs are not anything paranormal whatsoever. It's just stuff like that that has to be completely let go. And it's like you said, when people get these little pieces, even though they don't know what it is, mm-hmm. you're still taking one tiny piece of a puzzle. And you could maybe one day fit that in and be like, oh, this is why, you know? So it's not... Just because you don't know what it is doesn't mean it's not important. It's extremely important.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel. You know, the cool experiments that guy didn't see, but, you know, if you're feeling that if you're loving what you see with what he does, and it looks like they're doing some, at least trying to do tests on the environment, and they get some form of manipulation or some form of reading, that's still great. You know,
look, it's incredible. You know, the fact that people say that they see a person and then it disappears, that's even, you know, that may not even be a ghost or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but they saw it and that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
All this stuff is ridiculous. And like you said, even environmental changes that don't make sense,
mm-hmm.
that's still incredible because we don't know what it is.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I know. It's the best, man. It's what I heard someone say. It's like nerding out. It's the thing that I nerd out on.
It is. It is, isn't it? Geek out or nerd out, either one.
Yeah, geek out. That's what it is.
Yeah, I love the unknown. I kind of, my, like I said, my threshold to cross is when they have all the information, and because someone can't explain it, it's therefore a ghost. And I'm kind of like, it was really cool before you said that.
Yeah. Yeah, like you had me. And
Yeah.
it's, I used to tiptoe around, but I think if you're going to be a baby about it, if someone shows me something, I'll tell them what I think. You know? And I also, but things like an orb, I'll be like, that is not a ghost, because I know, fact,
Yeah.
that it's not. I don't even know what I was just going
And
to
well, it's, an orb is the, I always say the orb is the, what was it? Was it the Good Witch of the North on,
Yeah, she wrote in
she
on
rode in an orb. That's what it is.
that.
Yeah, see, that's not a ghost. That's a very positive witch.
That's what witches ride in on,
Yeah,
obviously.
obviously. Come on, man. You didn't do your research.
I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget. Don't worry, this will loop back around.
Okay.
So, you were talking about your that house,
Yeah.
and it's obviously a hot spot. And
It is.
talking about collecting data and stuff, an organization like MUFON, for example, and they have a similar thing to us where they're researching something that's very difficult. They're observational and experience based, where they're like, extraterrestrial UFO. And they have this system, this MUFON group database of things where they mark everything down and it goes into a big, they're able to do research on it. And we are so lucky because they're looking at something that is potentially shooting back into space and disappearing, where we could do the same stuff. That house isn't going anywhere.
No.
You have it,
Yeah.
So it's awesome. We should be, I wish that there were cameras set up in that house every second of the day.
Oh, yeah. It would be easy to attempt a replication, and that's important. And
Sure.
if you can replicate something, then I think that strengthens, not that it is something, but I think that it strengthens the fact that something is going on. And that's just as cool.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, my wife's saying she's like, well, you need to buy the house. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, sure, no problem. Will they take a check?
Yeah.
I wish I could. Like, oh God, I really wish I could. And
I know I have a buddy who I've worked with this group. It's Greater Western New York, and they have like a little web show and everything. But they just bought the Hinsdale House. I honestly don't know that much about it. I threw them a couple of bucks to help them out because they're renovating the place. And in turn, I'm able to investigate it. I'm actually really excited to go.
Oh yeah.
But it's cool that people are picking this stuff up and they're like, all right, well, now that house is theirs. They could do as much research on that house as they want.
And see, I think that's the correct type of research. I think that's the correct type of investigation is exactly what they're going into. And I think you had the great question once on your Facebook page for Paranormal Warehouse was
That's
what.
all Briggs, by the way.
Oh, well, tell him that was a great question.
Chase is the genius of Chris Bergenzer.
Well, he had a genius question, and that was, what would you like to see? Like, what kind of paranormal show would you actually watch? And I would love to see not a show of, not 15 shows a season of 15 different places where they go for 9 hours and then edit it down to one. I would like to see one place where they spend hundreds of hours, over the course of a couple years. That might be impractical, but one place that has a lot of reported haunted activity, and then you could do a lot of great research with just one place. When I kind of get tickled when people say, well, we took a baseline reading of EMF. And I'm like, so what you're saying is you walked around with an EMF meter for 10 or 15 minutes. And
And then it's on to the spirit box, and then
then
it's
it's on.
on to this, and it's on to the ovule.
Yeah.
It's
How would you
people are bouncing
know?
around too much.
Yeah, if you got, how would you know if you have high MF readings, how would you not know that that's a cyclical environmental occurrence because of its position on the Earth during the orbit, you know, during the orbit of the sun? You know, let's just like throw
yeah,
it.
Man, it's crazy. Like, people don't know that EMF is the Earth.
Yeah, everything.
Generating this in large quantities all the time.
All the time.
You know, so, and space, and it's not like, what's EMF? Oh, it's that thing that ghosts are made out of.
No.
Wrong answer.
Oh,
wrong answer.
Yeah, okay, you get the chance to steal. What's EMF? Yeah, the northern lights. I mean, that's excited particles because of the radiation coming from the sun. It excites the particles in the air, and they fire up. That's like, we get bombarded by radiation constantly. And our, you know, we have a great big solid, you know, iron core center of our planet.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, so we have a constant magnetic north. You know, well, the magnetic north, it shifts. I mean, you know, I don't know if you've ever done any type of topo or orienteering.
I teach earth science. I know all about this.
You got it, then. You got this. Oh, I love earth science. You should like whip that out more often.
Oh yeah, like how you can with the volcanoes and the water.
Oh yeah.
You can actually measure in stripes when these switches occurred. So it's cool.
Yeah, well, you know, I did search and rescue for many, many years. And they would tell us, you know, there's true, you know, you have true north is what you try to orient, because when you're lost and, you know, when you're a member of the search and rescue team, you don't want to be lost. So you always keep looking. You know, that would be embarrassing. But you keep your, you know, good topo map of the area. You keep up your orientation skill. So you have the true north, and you have magnetic north, and you have the, you know, declination. But even the magnetic north still shifts. I mean, that tells you what, how crazy the magnet and the EMF and the stuff that we're bombarded, that we live in currently. You know, even that shifts around. Even you have the magnetic in the poles, like you were saying just a minute ago, they switch. You know, I thought it was funny. I saw there's a Facebook thing probably a year or so ago about disasters coming because the magnetic poles are going to flip because three planets are going to be in line. And I was like, oh my God.
Then, we're doomed.
We're doomed. I'm going to run out of my credit cards. I'm going to get that bike. And so then I follow a lot of really cool science pages, and then somebody wrote an article about the shifting, and they were like, dude, it happens all the time. It's not a big deal.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. So, but you're going back to the show and the house, like the people that, like, I'm really envious because they bought that house you were talking about. I think, in my opinion, they are beginning a really correct study. Like, they are really nailing down, getting ready, and they could put data loggers in and just
and they could do multiple experiments over and over and over and over again.
Yeah,
which is exactly what we need.
Yes. Yeah. I love that.
I mean, and you're right, man. If there was a show, you know how, like, you watch True Detectives?
Mm-hmm.
You know how it's a different story every time?
Yeah.
If they had a show that one season was like, we're going to be in this house, and we're going to clock a billion hours in this house, and we're just going to, like, make it kind of documentary where all these things kind of develop. That's what we need.
Yeah, I would watch that show. As long as they didn't throw out, this is the portal to Hell House, and, you know.
Well, maybe we could limit it to, you could say portal to Hell three times.
It's in your contract, man.
Yeah, you got it, but it's only three times.
Yeah. That's great. So I hope that they put that information out, that group, because.
I've been speaking with this guy Cameron, and I've just been reaching out to people that have, like, head on their shoulders,
mm-hmm.
on different entertainment, but things like, you know, like how Bill does his problem with, where it's fun, but it's informational. So, you know, if they could do something like that, where it's just episode one, the Hinsdale House, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. Episode two, this is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That would be enormous and super important.
Yeah. I would love if they had any type of, just this EMF thing, and I don't want to come back to it, but even if they could just constantly log the readings of EMF, I mean, it'd be a long time. It would, in one year, I would love to see a chart of, where it increases, where it decreases. And then in 2 years, I'd love to superimpose that chart. In 3 years, superimpose that chart and see if there's a pattern.
That's genius.
And then you could go back and look at, the position of the earth, the weather, what was going on environmentally at the time. And I mean, that's a lot of work.
But it's just time. It's not really a lot of, it's more of a commitment, you know?
Yeah. And what I was going to say was that's a lot of work. And I think it takes people like them that aren't okay. I have a lot of times, I think a lot of people can be broken down into kind of subsects of the paranormal. And a lot of people do it because it's a lot of fun and they go out, things go beep, they hear something fall. It's excitement. It's almost like a carnival ride. And then it's over and they go to something else. That's kind of more of a instant gratification type person for when they do paranormal investigations. And that's fine. That's fun. I don't begrudge people that do that. I love to do that. Once a year, we used to do that as a team. We'd pick some place that was on TV and, go pay $100 or $125 and spend the night there and have fun. But people like that group that will dedicate themselves to one place, that's the, every day or every week or bi-monthly, downloading the information, plotting the information, looking at projections of where the information's going, what's going on. I think that is the commitment to answers that
100%.
That I think a lot of people aren't that committed to in the paranormal.
I mean, I think Bill uses the term thrill seeker where they're out there for fun. And listen, man, they're out there to see the celebrities too. I'm not going to get into it, but it is this dedication. I was just watching Dirty Jobs, that show, and
love that show.
I love it. And he went to Antarctica somewhere and he found some lady that is studying this shark. That's the only shark that constantly lives in the Arctic.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's her life. She just goes down there, does these meticulous things. She's living in the worst place on the planet.
No question.
And that's how science is done, man. It's just, you got to do it over and over and over and learn pieces, in little pieces. It just takes a lot of time.
Yeah. And commitment, like you said.
Yeah. You just got to be like, all right, I'm going to do this. I really do it. And and people that do that, I don't know if this is a jerk thing to say, but it's like a show of character. I respect people that are going to go out there and be like, no, I'm going to really try to do something. I'm going to, it sounds cheesy, but like make a difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just sitting here, I mean, I was getting ready to say, you've got me all pumped up. Like I'm ready to go out and write a check for that house now.
Don't do that.
I would. I would invite you down. I'd invite everybody down and say, hey, you guys can spend the night for like $8,000 a piece. Should cover the first two, though.
I'll just give you a, will you take a kidney? I think that goes for a lot on the black market.
Yeah, I would love to. And for those exact reasons, I would love to have that house. And hopefully whomever purchases that house next, it's kind of odd how it goes. But the previous owner typically gives the card or our number to the new owner.
No way.
Yeah. And the owner that has it now, that's selling it, she called me like out of the blue. And she said, you know, is this house haunted? And I was like, oh, you know, because all of a sudden, to be honest, you know, I all of a sudden, because she said, I'm not going to buy a house that's haunted. And I thought, great. You know, I immediately.
I'm going to ask you the question. Do you think that house is haunted?
No.
Oh.
But I think only because haunted implies that it has ghosts that live in it. And
sure.
I can't say that it's ghosts that live in there. I can't.
But, you're right.
Yeah, I can't. So I told her, because immediately when she asked me that, I mean, she was in panic. She really was, because this was a
sure.
house.
A big purchase, first of all.
It's huge. They got it for, I mean, I kicked myself because, I mean, it was well below half of its market price that they got it.
So this place is so messed up that it, you know, it'd be a great, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No.
It would be a great documentary to mm-hmm. find people, realtors, mm-hmm. who can't sell haunted houses. That'd
yeah.
be incredible.
Yeah. Well, this one wasn't. What had happened was the previous owner had, I won't get into it, just some tragedy or some things, bad things happened. She had to leave the state to
okay.
it was for family. And so the bank, she just said, she's like, I got to go. I got to take care of family. This is terrible. I, you know, I have to go. And so the bank took it. She was fine with it. And so it sat on the market for a year.
Wow.
And
that's an awful situation.
Yes. And so they just went to the bank and they were like, hey, would you take this? And the bank was like, yep, sold. And they were like, shoot. Like, hey, would you take like half of this? So they were just so happy. Anyway, so when they made the first offer, they got in contact with the other owner and they were like, look, you need to call this guy. So immediately when she said that, I mean, I'll flat out honest about this. My first thought when she said, and she was, because she has, it was a, you know, it's great family. There's 7 bedrooms in this house.
Oh, sure. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And she's, you know, they have a great, wonderful, wonderful, you know, big family. And it's, you know, it's downtown. It's in a historic district. It's within walking distance to just all kinds of awesome shops and restaurants. And it was perfect. And, you know, such a low price. Yeah, 7 bedrooms. She's just not going to find something like that.
Yeah.
And so immediately I thought, I have some potential liability here. You know, what do I do? You know, I could affect this person's life because someone says that it's haunted.
Sure.
So I told her, I was like, well, I need to meet with you and explain how I see things. And so we did, and she bought the house and everything was fine, but she stayed in contact and she'd send me messages and she'd tell me the things that happened. And, you know, they have 5 kids. And so she was like, you know, actually I really don't hardly notice anything because I got, you know, because I have 5 kids.
Sure.
It was things like, her husband. Yeah, her husband was on the couch in the living room watching TV. And one of the things that one of their daughters do is she likes to sneak up behind him and tap the back of his head on the couch and duck down. So he's sitting there watching TV and, you know, something comes up, taps him on the back of the head. And he laughs and he says, oh, you know, yeah, well, who was that? So, you know, they're playing this game and it taps him on the back of the head again. And he's like, oh, you know, who is that? And then it like dawns on him. The story tells me it dawns on him. Like his wife and the kids are gone. They're gone.
Oh, it's like one of those, oh.
Yeah. So that was one of the stories that she related, you know, and she was one of the ones that talked to me about something running across the bed and waking him up, you know, like when a kid runs across the bed. And
sure.
Yeah. But I still won't say it's haunted. I mean, that's, and you know, that's where I kind of got to where some of my friends are just like, you're ridiculous, Tim. You're just like, you're over the top for that.
But you're not. You're not.
I'm not, because if I tell them, yeah, that's haunted because ghosts live there. I mean, I have to like.
Yeah. And you know, like you said, that's a perfect example of a huge family making a huge financial decision, you know?
Yeah.
And what are you going to, you're going to tell them yes, and then you're going to, you know, they obviously got a great deal on the house. You can't.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect. So, but they're out, and now it's waiting again. And we talked to our photographer that's on our team. He is he's a wonderful photographer. He's a professional photographer. He now shoots for, I think it's West Virginia Magazine.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's their photographer, which is just amazing. But
is that where you are, West Virginia?
Yeah, West Virginia. You didn't know that?
I probably heard it a while ago, but I was going to eventually ask you that question, but
oh.
Now I
now you know Mountaineer. I'm a,
it all makes sense.
Oh, man. So he knows, he happens to know, have friends that knew one of the ladies that grew up in that house, and she's like 88 now. And she grew up there with like in the 30s or 40s and 50s, maybe, I don't know. But he went and talked to her, and, you know, she said just like the most bone chilling thing for me was she said, when they grew up, she was like, oh yeah, you know, we all knew it in that house that something was in the house. No, I take that back. We all knew that something was going on with the house, but she said the house either likes you or it doesn't.
Oh man.
And that,
and it's those things. It's, you know, you get into the movie realm where you're like, what? Why?
She didn't think that anything was in the house, like a ghost or something. Like, they grew up thinking it was the house. Like,
oh, that's even scarier.
I know. She said, and that's what she said. She said either the house liked you or didn't. So some people would come over that maybe they didn't like. Might have been a little raucous, a little rude. I don't know. But they would report things, and, you know, they would leave.
Wow.
So they would just say, yep, well, the house didn't like them.
Wow. And that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. You know, and it came from, I mean, that's a story. That's a story. It is a story, but it's a report that's way older than anything we've ever done with the house. Way older. And she, as a kid, you know, she didn't grow up all her whole life there because they moved. There's like, there's been 20 some owners of the house since the 1800s. But
that's crazy.
They moved. And she was there between, I might get this wrong, but it seemed like she was there between 9 and 14 years old. And but that's what they remembered. They remembered it was the house. And I just think, you know, it kind of goes back to, you know, I'm not saying that there's evidence of ghosts, but I think that even though it's anecdotal, because it happens consistently over time, that something is there. And I think with the proper look at what is there, what might be causing, or it might be a natural cause that people have, I don't want to use the word hallucinate, but that people have similar experiences because of something environmental.
Something going on, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that is just as, it might prove that it's not a ghost, but even if you have that answer, I think that's a brilliant answer. Like if they turn out and say, oh, well, you know, this house was painted with, you know, in 1901, it was painted with mercury and lead based paint. <You know? laughs> and that's
everyone's
why,
like, tripping balls.
Yeah. And that's why everybody has these experiences, because, you know, I have no clue. I'm just kind of making that. I don't know if mercury.
Sure. But yeah, it could be anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, why is it that house that has a consistent, you know, a consistent story about it?
I don't know, man. Sounds like gold right there. I love those places that are consistent. It's like special almost.
Well, I'll shoot you a when we're done. I'll shoot you a link to the house so you can see it online.
Oh,
so
please do. Now I'm like, I have this ridiculous fantasy in my head of what this place looks like.
Yeah, piece it together and you got it. Hey, we'll be neighbors. You can come down and live.
That'd be great.
Yeah, just don't expect to work, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Well.
Well,
That was a great hour.
Yeah, that flew by.
It did. I was just I checked it out. We got about 20 minutes left. So before we get into something else and get carried away, I know that you have two sites, and sometimes people don't understand that the two sites are the, you know, the Moving Forward and then the Paranormal Warehouse are two sites. So if you could kind of tell everybody who will pick this up the difference between them, that'd be great.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, Paranormal Warehouse is, I wanted it to be a place, it's basically a social networking site, and it's, you know, it functions how I want it. It's a place that you could post evidence and people could talk about it. And, you know, there's a chat room. I'm trying to make like little independent productions that are educational. And
those are great, by the way.
Thanks so much, man. And I mean, you know, we'll talk about Bill Hyland again. Mm-hmm. That guy helps me out big time.
Yeah, I love those videos.
Yeah, they're great. And it's you know, I've learned a lot just by putting them together because, you know, I'll look up other things to kind of like fill things in. And it's been a lot of fun. I love doing it. So, I'm trying to make more of those. And that's what Paranormal Warehouse is. It's a little bit more fun, and it's a way to share and just share theories and, you know, just like what we're doing, just chatting.
Just chatting. And I always like to say it's family friendly, so, which is one of my favorite things.
It is. I mean, you know, when you go in there, it's just a place where we tell it how it is, you know, nobody's ever bashing anybody or being ridiculous. It's just sharing of ideas, which is perfect.
Yeah.
But this new website that Bryce and I are trying to come up with, it's a straight up database. So it's very simple. It has a simple layout, and it's actually run by a program called Castio. That's it's like an online cloud service where they store all the data, and you can link their links, put the code into your website, and it'll function as a database, and everything is stored there. And unfortunately, it's expensive. So we're running a Kickstarter right now. I had it up. Like I said, I'm a middle school teacher, so it's not like I'm raking in the gold here. So, you know, we're doing this Kickstarter to run, to raise a year's worth to hopefully get ad revenue on there so that the site can run itself eventually. But this database is simply going to be, you know, I would talk to you guys and anybody to try to develop a form to fill out and just detailed information of what you did, you know, try to promote experimentation. Just don't go in there willy nilly. So, you know, I know you guys have that battery experiment. Bill was nice enough. He actually mailed me all the equipment because I'm going to be going to this Hinsdale house to do this battery experiment. So it's like little experiments like that.
Yeah, he nailed that out. Yeah, he hit that out of the park. That was great.
Yeah, and the guy's awesome. I hit him up to say, where did you get this stuff? How did you put it together? Because I really want to try it out. And, you know, Bill being Bill just mailed it to me, no problem.
Yeah.
But it's really just going to promote that type of, it's like the research that we've been talking about. There's no wrong research. Go out there, but try and be thorough and hopefully we could collect enough over time. I'm sure it's going to take a long time, but to pinpoint things and just further actual research, because I'm personally done with the Halloween-y,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Whatever this field is turning into, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I want to reach out, and it's going to be hard, but I want to reach out and find the people that are really doing this stuff and be like, yo, let's do this together. Let's bring it here. And this is my tool. And this is what I'm offering. And there are people out there that are way smarter than myself. And I want those people to come in to share with the other smart people, basically.
Well, you know, the other thing I like about that is when you share like the battery test that Bill and I have talked about, I have one that I want to do sometime when I get time. It's not going to be as like Bill is just amazing. Like he showed me his information and, the findings were something that was not expected for him.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. And
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be so many different variables that made that happen.
Uh-huh.
But it was the findings that I said to myself, he's definitely not going to get these findings.
Yeah. And he
you
did.
Know?
Yeah. So what I like about putting that on there, though, is that you can put the methodology,
yep.
and you can put the equipment, and then somebody else can pick it up and go, I'll try to replicate that exactly what he did. I'll replicate it over here and see if I get the same thing. And once that keeps, you know, once you have more and more and more replications of it, you can start looking for patterns, you know?
Yep. And it's replication that will also bring innovation, where someone will say, yo, I did it a little bit different. I did
yeah.
this. It's way better results. And then it's just over and over and over again, improvement, improvement, improvement. It's like an evolution, you know?
It is. Yep. And people can put, you know, I did this. When I looked at what you did, I recognized, you know, that you use this type of battery or you use this type of equipment. And that was not such a good idea. You know,
yeah.
so I changed.
That's fine. You know, put that up there. That's just as important.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, if anybody's listening that is very much into that, I'm gonna put up a blog. This podcast has like inspired me now. So
yeah. there you
I'm
go.
I'm gonna go on there. I'm gonna start a blog or a forum thread, and I'm just gonna start reaching out to people and try to start bringing the people that are doing this right together, because it's like a needle in a haystack. Finding you guys, I mean, look at the crew that we have now. You know, it's
yeah.
One of my joys is that Paranormal Warehouse, I got to meet you guys and you guys got to talk to each other. And it's one of the victories that are very few and far between, but I cherish it, honestly. So,
yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, there are a lot of people out there a lot smarter than I, with a lot more experience in things that I have no experience in.
Yep.
And I've met them. Yeah, I've met all you guys to that site.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's it makes me feel really good.
Well, you did a good job.
Thanks, man.
Two thumbs up, man. All right.
But yeah, that's really it.
Okay. I appreciate you coming on. You really helped me out. It's so much fun talking to you. I know we had the segment with you when we were on Mondays. I know that you couldn't always be here on Friday.
I know, I'm a degenerate, and I'm usually drinking with my wife on Friday night. So
that's good though, man. Enjoy it while you can.
We're trying.
That's good. That's good. But then it might be more fun if you're drinking. I doubt it.
So then whenever I have a couple of beers or like some wine and I start talking about this, it just always gets angry.
Oh, I know. I know.
It always gets angry. It's awful. I had one of those moments the other day and I woke up and I'm just like, oh, geez.
I know exactly how you feel. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on. I want
people to
great
time. Thank you for having me up.
Yeah, I want people to. I hope some people that hear this get some, you know, get excited and get pumped up for it too.
Sure.
You know, it's a. I think it's a great step. It's a learning step. You know, it's almost like learning as you go. You know, I don't know quite where else it's been done. As far as paranormal goes, trying to do tests, come up with experiments, and then. Put them somewhere where people can replicate them. So it's almost kind of like learning as you go, but I hope someone gets excited about it, comes on board, tries stuff out, leaves ideas. I think that's another great thing is just to leave an idea. You know, somebody might not have done an experiment, but they might have an idea for an experiment.
Sure.
And, you know, somebody else that might be able to pick it up. And
yeah, someone's like, yo, listen, I'm really... you know, whatever example, I'm super busy. I don't have the time to do this. This is my idea. Someone could say, that's dope. I'm going to do that. And I'll fill you in. We can work together, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Or you can meet somebody that has the experience or the expertise in the field to set something up like that.
Yeah. I mean, are we allowed to curse on this?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it's, I'll give you my one. You know, we say it's like, let's just fucking do it. Yeah. You know, like to everyone out there that wants to do it, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's be, if it hasn't happened before, let's do it now. And there's so many naysayers that are like, oh, that hasn't worked in the past. It's not going to work. There's too many variables, blah, blah, blah. It's, this is infancy. We're dealing with things that we have no idea. And it's going to be grimy and gritty in the beginning. And
yeah,
it's not going to be easy, but let's do it, man. Let's get, you gotta dig out of that hole eventually.
Sure. You know, it's funny when you said that, the naysayers, you know, the Wright brothers popped into my mind, you know. I would imagine
that's why I sounded like idiots.
Yeah. You're going to do what with that machine? You're crazy.
Yeah, you're going to fly in the air. That's insane. But,
yeah.
You know, but, now I have Newark Airport, and I have the joy of hearing airplanes flying over me all the time.
Thanks a lot, Wright brothers.
Yeah. I have a secret hatred towards the Wright brothers.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm thinking about all the people that failed before them, you know, and
it's got to happen. And those people, even though it sucks, and I get like the whole like innovator and, you know, inventors, and they want to be the one, but they're just as important as the Wright brothers. The Wright brothers were just lucky enough to get it right.
Yeah. Well, every time you fail, you learn what not to do.
Yep.
And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Oh man. Now I'm ready. I think I'll just drive by that house just to look at it.
I better not. Just tell it you'll be back soon.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate everybody listening. I'm going to go ahead and we'll go ahead and shut her down. And Matt will be back next week. Look forward to that. I hope he's having fun with his family and getting to have a good time with them. Mike, again, thank you so much. It's always so much fun to talk to you.
Yeah, man. That was like the quickest hour and a half ever.
It was great, wasn't it? All right. So,
and definitely tell Matt I said hello. I talk to him all the time. But
yeah, he's a great guy. Great guy. So with that, I am going to make sure I pick the right exit song. We'll go ahead and end this. And I'll after this, I'll send you a link to the house so you can see it.
Oh, dude. Awesome.
Yeah. And for anybody else listening, we always say, you know, please send us feedback. You know, paranormalwarehouse.com. You can drop anything there. Or for our radio show, you can go to Paranormal Talk Radio on our Facebook. Send us a message. Let us know, you know, what you'd like that what we do. And if you hear anything that we can improve on so we can bring a better product to you guys, let us know. I enjoy the feedback. And with that, I hope you guys have a great weekend. And Mike, thanks again.
Thanks, man.
And I'm pretty sure I got the right song. So we'll go ahead and hit it.
Thank you for tuning into Paranormal Talk Radio. We broadcast live every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Don't be intimidated by the hosts. We would love to get your feedback about our show, whether it is good or bad. You can leave comments on our Blog Talk webpage or email us privately at paranormaltalkradio@gmail.com. Would you like to interact with other listeners or the host during the show? Register free with Blog Talk Radio to chat with us live during the show. You can also look us up on Facebook, answer questions and polls, and get the latest news. Until next time, see you on the other side.